Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Pros Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester, and today I'm joined by Ariel Cohen. He's on Twitter at ATCNY. He's the 2019 FSWA Baseball Writer of the Year, also the creator of the ATC projection system, which has been wildly accurate. Ariel, thanks for coming to the show. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, and thanks so much for having me again, Bobby. How are you?
My pleasure. I'm doing well, and I'm doing especially well because baseball starts in 2 days. I'm super pumped.
Oh, me too. I got to tell you, I was doing an auction on Sunday night, and I had $3 left in a 10-team auction, and you know, I thought of you, and I said, you know what I'm going to go for? Avisail Garcia.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, he's on my team now.
You won your league. Congratulations. Well, here's the plan for today, Ariel. We're going to be talking 10 early waiver pickups. Now, I get it. The season hasn't started yet. But you know what? If you guys drafted a long time ago, and most leagues did, and they didn't redraft. If you drafted a long time ago, or maybe you redrafted, and there's a lot of things that have changed, even in the past week, we're going to give you guys some waiver wire pickups, or at least guys to keep on waiver wire speed dial in case you need to pick someone up. After that, we've got some summer camp takeaways. We've each got 3 of them prepared. So, okay, before we start, the regular season finally starts this Thursday. We've got the tools to help give you the edge during what is sure to be a very unique fantasy baseball season. Our lineup assistant helps you pick the best lineup to roll with every single day. The waiver assistant gauges which unowned players give your roster the greatest edge over the course of the season. Our trade analyzer provides you with instant analysis for any trade offer. You can access all of these helpful in-season tools and much more with a Fantasy Pros premium subscription. Win your fantasy baseball leagues by upgrading today at fantasypros.com/premium. Again, that's fantasypros.com/premium. Also, we got a special offer going on right now for 6 free months of our highest subscription tier. Check out fantasypros.com/offers for more details. Ariel, let's dive right into it. 10 early waiver wire pickups. Who do you want to start us with?
Well, I'm going to go for CJ Cron. He's not a super deep guy, but if you're playing in a shallow league, you're going to want to pick him up. He had a, quote, down year in 2019. That's because he had only 25 homers. The previous year, he had 30. But actually, he was injured last year. He had a thumb injury twice, actually, and that, I think, prevented him from a full breakout. In the first half, people don't even remember this, he had 17 homers, 52 RBIs, and a .271 batting average. I mean, that's an incredible first half, and hey, I mean, we only have 60 games this year, right? I don't expect him to have a lofty batting average. Look, he's a .250 career hitter, but I do expect a rebound. Look at his hard hit contact, 41% of the time. Medium contact, 43%. That means that 5 out of 6 balls that he hits are pretty much on the nose. I mean, that's a fantastic number. ATC is actually on the low side of projections of anyone, and they have him for 10 homers, .258 average. I think CJ Cron is going to be a $10 player in a deep league. In a shallow league, he's worth owning. Go for him.
Let me put it this way with CJ Cron. Josh Bell right now, his ADP is 82, so he's going in the 7th round, right? CJ Cron. Consensus projections on CJ Cron have him at 10 homers, .257 batting average. Josh Bell, 10 homers, .276 batting average. So a little bit better, but you're getting CJ Cron literally off the waiver wire right now, and he's like a Josh Bell light.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll say, though, is he does have a lefty-righty split. He's much better versus lefties than righties, so you may get a couple of at-bats missing because he platoons, but especially if you're in a daily league or if you look at the schedule and he's facing a bunch of lefties, you're going to want Cron in your lineup.
This is definitely a guy that I'm excited about. I've got a lot of shares of CJ Cron as my first baseman this year. You mentioned the 25 homers. Guys, he missed 36 games last year. That could have easily been over 30. His batting average isn't going to be great, but he's certainly not going to kill you either. This is a very solid pickup. I absolutely agree with this call. Here's my first one. Let's just get it out of the way. Everyone knows it's coming. Rich Hill. He's still out there in way too many leagues. Now, I imagine if you've been listening to this show, you've had this beat in your head enough, but maybe there's some new listeners this week, and I could not possibly let them go by without picking up Rich Hill. He's one of the top 20 pitchers in baseball, inning for inning. I've mentioned this before. Over the last 5 years since he became a starting pitcher, he's top 6 in ERA. He's only one of 6 guys with an ERA under 3 in that time. He's one of only 6 guys with at least 10.6 Ks per 9. He is incredible inning for inning, and this year we might get him for the full season finally.
I think he's going to pitch until he's 50. I mean, he reminds me of Jamie Moyer out there.
He's amazing.
But all kidding aside, he's fantastic when he's healthy. And he is healthy now. People didn't pick him up. And the reason why he's on the waiver wire is because he was not being drafted. He was injured. Last year, he had a one whip in the second half. Unbelievable. The only thing I'll caution, though, is, and I've seen from the waiver wire this week, he is very expensive on the waiver wire. I've seen him go upwards of 30 to 55% of someone's fab budget. Like, if you have $100 in fab, I've seen people bid over 50 on him. So to me, that's not
a... I saw him go for over 75% in a couple leagues.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, to me, that's not a... it's not a good return on investment to spend 55% of your budget on a 40-year-old pitcher. So I don't like the pick in terms of the return you're getting on the investment, but in terms of whether he should be picked up, instant. It's an instant pickup there.
And for those wondering why he wasn't picked up in a lot of leagues, he had an injury at the beginning of the season. He wasn't supposed to be back until June, maybe July. Guys, it's July now. He's back, and he's awesome. Who's your next guy, Ariel?
I'm going to go the closer route here. A guy that I have my eye on in San Francisco, his name is Tyler Rogers. No, I didn't say Taylor Rogers, because that would be the Twins, the Twins stopper. But actually, Tyler is Taylor's not only brother, he's his twin brother. So he's got a twin brother on the Twins.
Awesome.
What? Unbelievable. he is not a sidearmer. He is a full-blown submariner. In a small sample size last year in 17 innings, which is somewhat decent, only gave up 2 earned runs. That's a 1 ERA and a .85 whip. He's not a big strikeout guy, but he does not throw walks, and he is an extreme ground ball pitcher. I'm talking about almost 70% ground ball rate. Now, if you're throwing over 50%, you're inducing a heck of a lot of ground balls. 70% is ungodly. He reminds me of Chad Bradford from a couple years ago. I think it's him. I mean, who's in line? John Gustave throws heat, but doesn't throw a lot of strikeouts. Tony Watson, veteran guy. Maybe they'll use him in a high leverage role. He's 35. I don't think he's going to be the stopper. I think it's Tyler Rogers, and he's only 3% owned. You can get him almost for free now with very little fab, so go for it.
Earlier, you talked about CJ Cron having a thumb injury last year, and it just made me think about, I was a basketball player right before baseball season, and I sprained my thumb, and I went out there and tried to swing a bat, and it's just absolutely impossible. And now I'm thinking about the time when I faced a submarine pitcher who was throwing like crap. Like, he didn't throw any miles per hour at all. I swear to you, the college pitchers I faced who were pumping in their upper 80s or, low 90s or whatever, way easier to hit than this guy who's throwing, tossing in there at 65 coming from a different angle. It's just totally different. Now, I get it. Major league pitchers have seen more of this type of thing, but a guy like this typically has a lot of success early on in his career, a lot earlier than most relief pitchers, because it's just hard to pick up that angle to really study what it's like to go up against him. So I get it. He's 28 years old, but he just came into the major leagues. There's not much film on him. He's going to be a difficult guy to hit. And if he gets that closer job, yeah, he could be a Mark Melancon type who's got these low ratios. Okay, he's not going to strike out a ton of people, but those ratios and saves are certainly going to help you.
Yeah, and again, I'm big on return on investment. Whereas Hill, you have to pay 50% of your budget. You have to pay about 2 to 3% of your budget on him. So
absolutely,
it's a small investment. If he gets the role, you're golden. If he doesn't, so swap him out for somebody else next week. It's a great quick pitch.
I'll go to a closer as well. And you know what? When I sent this to you yesterday, Ariel, it sounded like Ryan Helsley was going to be the closer for the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, we've recently heard that Kim did not make the rotation. He's going to be the closer for the St. Louis Cardinals, and he is out there in a lot of leagues right now. He's the closer for the St. Louis Cardinals, who are a questionable playoff team. They're on the fence.
Yeah, you sent me this yesterday as Ryan Helsley, but I think Helsley's a bust. Good pitcher, no doubt, but you got Kim there. But there's a lot of options in the St. Louis bullpen. First of all, I'm not 100% convinced that Carlos Martinez is going to be a starter. I think that it's very possible, as they did in the last 2 years in a row, they could shift him to be the closer. I think Giovanni Gallegos is fantastic. I have this pitching metric called WPDI, Weighted Plate Discipline Index. It basically is a measure of how good plate deception that somebody has. Like, are you getting swings outside the zone? Are you getting called strikes? And Giovanni Gallegos comes up really, really high in that. So I think he's fantastic. There's also Andrew Miller in the pen. You never know. He can perform. So anybody in the Cardinals bullpen is tough, but I think the first crack is going to be Kim until Gallegos, who is back, I think, finally in camp, although I don't think he'll be ready for the start of the season. But yeah, pick up Kim in the short term. He's also pretty cheap.
Takes a while to get ramped back up, and this guy was filthy in the KBO. Now, the KBO is the Korean Baseball Organization, and virtually every single park there is like Coors Field. His ERA last year, basically pitching in Coors Field, 2.51. He won 17 games. 180 Ks is a ton in the KBO. He was the best pitcher in all of Korea.
Yeah, I think it's a great another great one. Cheap closer, if he's the guy, you're golden. And St. Louis, unlike San Francisco, St. Louis is a decent team, so he can rack up some saves.
All right, who do you have for us next?
I'm going to go back to San Francisco. I'm going to go with a fellow that I've actually mentioned on this podcast before, Mauricio Dubon. He's about 14% owned, so, you know, he's known, but in shallow leagues available, in deep leagues, he may or may not be. Dubon offers a power-speed blend. You always want to nab guys who can turn in a 15-15 season at the end. Kevin Pillar is another guy that I always think of. Kevin Kiermaier. Well, how about Mauricio Dubon? Back in March, Kapler actually said not just second-base shortstop he can fill in, but actually they might want to play him in center field, and they might want to give him a lot of playing time. Playing time will play in this short season, and I think they're going to make every single attempt to get Dubon. Look, I think in an annual year, 1550, 270 is in play. He's like a Kevin Newman, but really, really cheaper. I think he's off people's radars, but he might be a big starter and big contributor, and I'm looking to see where they're going to slot him in the lineup.
Dubon was one of these guys when he was in the low minor leagues that was just super exciting, and a lot of people didn't see it because they're looking at his stats. They're like, okay, he's got a 725 OPS. Sure, he steals 30 bases, but where's the power? When you're 18, 19, 20 years old, a lot of times the power just isn't there, and everyone thought, okay, this is a guy who is a hit-only prospect. No, he's a glove-only prospect. No, he's a glove-first prospect, but he's also good at bat, and the bat finally developed. So he was stealing 38 stolen bases the first 3 years of his career. Last year, he finally hit 20 bombs after his minor league high was 8 previously. And he also batted .302, .822 OPS. This is a quality hitter. He's got plenty of speed, and I'm thrilled that he's finally going to get his chance to play. He was also crushing in spring training.
Yeah, no, agreed. The Giants have some good prospects. We're waiting for Joey Bart to come. I don't know if he'll be this year, although he might be with Posey out. You never know.
This is a guy, I think Peter Gammons was super high on him way back in the day when the Red Sox traded him to the Brewers, and it hasn't really worked out. It took him a while to get here, 24 years old, but he's here, and I think he's going to help fantasy teams this year, absolutely. Now, I'm going to go back to closer, and I know we have a disagreement on this one, so we might have to fight here. Austin Adams is the best relief pitcher in Seattle. Have they told us who the closer is going to be? Because if they have, I haven't seen anything yet. I don't see why it wouldn't be Austin Adams if he's healthy.
No, I don't think they told us yet, and I don't think that our disagreement here is whether Austin Adams is good. I think he is fantastic. Look, he had some health problems last year. He had a shoulder injury. Now, shoulder injuries are very, very difficult for pitchers. You know, UCL, Tommy John surgeries, people come back from that shoulder, that nags all your life, but he also had an ACL injury, so he's just getting back. But his numbers are fantastic. He's got a 17% swinging strike rate. That's phenomenal. He's got a 50% ground ball rate. Strikeout rate of 14 K per nine. His fastball has been getting faster. It picked up another miles an hour. He's now up to 96 mile an hour in his fastball. There is no question he is closer material. And I think that he is going to get the first shot. It's too bad for me because I picked up a lot of Hirano previous. I thought Hirano would be the guy, and he was going to be the guy other than injured. Austin Adams is the next best guy there. I just don't like Seattle as a team. And if you're talking about, you're buying Austin Adams for the save. I don't know how many save opportunities you can get on a crappy Seattle team.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair, but I'm not just buying him for the saves. I'm buying him for the strikeouts,
okay,
too.
Okay.
I mean, here are the top six guys in K percentage with at least 30 innings last year. Edwin Diaz, 39. Ken Giles, 39.9. Kirby Yates, 41.6. Nick Anderson, 41.7. Austin Adams, number two, 42.2. And then Josh Hader, 47.8, who's just on another planet. But Austin Adams was number two, ahead of Nick Anderson, Kirby Yates, Ken Giles, all these guys.
Yeah, no, he's phenomenal. You know, I've seen a lot of his name because, you know, I run the ATC projections, and I'm compiling different sources of projections underneath. And there's actually two Austin Adams. There's one on Seattle and one in Minnesota. And very often when I try doing matching, I get confused. The computer software gets confused. Is it the Minnesota guy? Is it the Seattle guy? So I'm always manually putting in, no, take the Seattle guy. And you know, just looking because of that, I've looked more into him, and I love him. So I love your pick. I just don't like the team that he's playing for.
All right, before we get to the next one, the future of daily fantasy sports has arrived. Experience SuperDraft's exclusive game mode, Multiplier. Say goodbye to salary restrictions and hello to lineup freedom. Use your fantasy sports knowledge to draft any player you want and build your very own dream team. Countless lineup possibilities let you experience daily fantasy sports the way you want. SuperDraft offers contests for all of the major sports, so you can enjoy the best of DFS all year round. Sign up for SuperDraft today using promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word, and you'll claim a free $10 bonus with your first deposit. Download in the App Store or play at superdraft.io. SuperDraft, no limits, more winning. I have a question for you, okay? This is a non-fantasy baseball question. Have you moved on from VLOOKUP? Are you using XLOOKUP now, Match Index?
1,000%.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so powerful, isn't it?
Yes. On my personal computer, I have it at work. For some reason, they're a little bit behind the times, and so I have to go back to VLOOKUP and HLOOKUP. But yeah, instead of having to put the number of the column, who cares? You just highlight the row
Amazing.
You're targeting. It is so superior. I have never looked back. Bye-bye.
It feels so good, doesn't it? It does exactly what your brain wants you to do. All right, let's keep moving on. Sorry for that pit stop, everyone.
We are big nerds talking about XLOOKUP, but I've taken a step back in my coolness now.
Oh, that's all right. Well, everyone knows we're nerds. It's okay, Ariel. All right, who do you have for us next?
All right, I'm going to go with a Yankee here. I'm a Mets fan, but we'll talk about Yankees as well. Aaron Hicks.
Right. Expensive pickup, but one that's worthwhile.
Yeah, he's expensive. Not as expensive as some others, but he's worthwhile getting. I mean, before the season, before any injury, I have him as one of the ATC undervalued players, like a $15 player. I think he's going to be at least a $5, $10 player, and I mean, he's on the waiver wire. If you're batting first for the Yankees, who have an amazing lineup, last year they nearly set an all-time home run record, if not for those pesky Twins. You're going to score a lot of runs. The reason you buy Aaron Hicks is for runs scored. Anybody, you can put me up, Ariel Cohen, you can put me up in the Yankee lineup batting first, and I'm going to score a lot of runs. And Hicks is a little bit better than me, just a little bit, of course. No, he's got everything. ATC has him projected for only 141 at-bats, and I think that's low. 7 homers, 25 runs, 20 RBIs. I think that is way under. I'm a strong Hicks guy. He looks healthy. He's ready. Go for it.
Even if he doesn't bat leadoff, like let's say DJ LeMahieu bats leadoff, Aaron Judge is second. Okay, that means he's batting fifth behind Gleyber Torres and Giancarlo Stanton. Like he's either getting runs or he's getting RBIs. No doubt about it.
Yeah, he's going to give, I call it run production, runs or RBIs.
And
in fantasy baseball, especially if you're in a roto, people really don't count it as much. They say, well, whenever people look up for the waiver wire, they look at the homers, they look at the run, they look at the stolen bases. But why? Runs and RBIs are 40% of your offensive categories. You should be heavily thinking about picking up leadoff batters, third batters, fifth batters. People don't give that enough credit, and that's why Hicks is undervalued.
Yep, totally agree. I think those are the most undervalued categories, and it's really easy to find those in the late rounds. It just depends on what lineup you're playing in, where you're batting in the order. Obviously, it matters how good you are as well, but those are the big factors. And here's another guy that stands out to me. Now, I didn't have him on my list, but I just realized Wilmer Flores is probably going to be batting cleanup for the San Francisco Giants. And he might not be good defensively, but he's going to play every day, and he can hit.
Wow. How many Giants are we picking up here?
I guess. I mean, well, the thing is, there's no Giants who are owned, so they're all available.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Wilmer Flores against lefties, he is
so
a lefty
good.
Masher.
Use him in DFS every time against a lefty. He gets Clayton Kershaw. I don't care. I'm playing him at $2,100.
Oh, for sure. And because they're going to put him more for lefties, his batting average is going to go up. I actually have him projected for a 282 average, 5 homers, 17 RBIs, and only 126 at-bats, which that'll actually play in some leagues. I think you have to be a little bit deeper. DFS and deep leagues, NL-only leagues, you can use him. I wouldn't sleep on Flores. I've seen him a lot on my Mets, and don't shed a tear for him.
Yes, that's a really good one. Can you explain why you said that? Because a lot of people probably missed it.
Okay. I can't remember the year. A couple of years ago, the Mets were in the hunt for the playoffs. It was actually 2015, and the Mets were looking to make a trade, a big guy, and it was announced on Twitter and social media that Carlos Gomez of the Milwaukee Brewers at the time was traded for Zach Wheeler and Wilmer Flores. And during the game, all of a sudden, you see him on camera, and he's crying because he heard about it. Now, the trade wasn't official by any means, but the rumors were there, and they were waiting for medicals to come by. And he's just literally bawling. His eyes are bawling out there, and he's crying and whatnot because he loved playing for the Mets. And
right.
the trade never happened. And actually, the day later, he had a home run in the 12th inning to beat the Nationals,
awesome,
who they were chasing. So. Yeah.
he's a guy I've always rooted for. That was just kind of a silly story, and it made me laugh. So I needed you to explain it so I could catch my breath a little bit to tell you my guy. And a lot of people aren't going to be surprised if you've been listening a long time, but Josh James. Okay, last spring I was so bummed when he got that little injury and was ruled out of the rotation. He was in the bullpen all year. This year, he's going to be in the rotation. And he was excellent last year in the bullpen. Now, his ERA wasn't exactly there, but he did strike out 37.6 Ks per 9 innings. That's more than Aroldis Chapman, fellas. His ERA was 4.77, as I mentioned. But this is a guy with phenomenal stuff. He's going to be in the rotation. I'm taking a flyer. If he doesn't work out, so what? You are getting him for free.
Yeah, no, he's definitely worth a flyer. I have him on a team or two of mine. If you look, he was somewhat unlucky last year. He had a 4.7 ERA, but his FIP was only 4. His XFIP was 3.77, and his Sierra situation, 3.33.
Yes.
Pros, strikeout rate, as you mentioned, 38% of the time. That's a 15 K per 9. For a starter, 15 K per 9 is absolutely...
Well, that's not going to happen, but it could drop to like 12, and that would still be amazing. That's like Robbie Ray territory.
Yeah, exactly. Now, he has a couple problems, and his biggest one is he walks too many people. I'm talking over 5 batters per 9 innings. That's in the yikes territory. So the question is, and you'll see it right away, is he walking people? Because if the control gets there and he can limit it to 2 walks per 9, 2.5 walks per 9, he is golden. If he sits up in the 5, you're dealing with a high ERA. Now, looking at his spring training, he pitched 9 innings in the abbreviated spring training with 3 walks. So hard to tell what he's doing right now. He also had some shoulder issues in September. I'm always wary about that. But he has the role now. He's worth the dart pick. You'll know right away if he's got his control. And if so, he has the potential to be almost ace-like.
Yeah, he could be a league winner. And now you're talking about these XFIP, FIP, Sierra. Can you explain what those indicate?
Yeah, so ERA obviously is just the amount of earned runs you gave up per stuff, but some of it is bad luck. Some of it is the hits are just falling in, or maybe your fielding is bad. So what some
of like 70 innings is a small sample size. Like ERA is not going to tell us; it's not going to indicate what their actual skill is in, you know, with the small sample size of luck.
No, and FIP and XFIP, and they're retrospective indicators. They're saying, okay, if you had an average defense, and if you just look at his strikeout rate, and just look at his homers given up, and just look at a couple of indicators, it'll tell you what his ERA should have been. It's not a be-all, tell-all, but if you see a FIP much lower than an ERA, you know the guy was unlucky, you know the guy might be undervalued.
I think that's a good way to put it. Would you say that FIP is more predictive than ERA? For future ERA?
I've seen studies that show that they're actually pretty similar. My specific choice is Sierra. Sierra sort of breaks down the different situations. Is it fly ball? Is it ground ball? Is it a outfield? So it's a little bit more composite. I like that. All of these, they're not extremely predictive. Like ERA is not a real – ERA 1 year is not predictive of ERA the next year. So it's just a bad statistic. These are all retrospective. So to me, they're more like BABIP. It's more like luck indicators. You know, are you pitching better than you've shown? Are you pitching worse than you've shown? I wouldn't say nothing more than that, but that's what I use them for.
Like Edwin Diaz was pretty dang good last year. 263 Sierra. He had a 559 ERA. Obviously, he was extremely unlucky. That's why the Mets are keeping him in the closer role. This type of information is just, you know, it's not all encompassing, but it definitely is more helpful than just looking at the on-the-surface numbers. Yeah, all right, you've got one more waiver wire guy. I've got one more, and then we're going to roll with our summer camp takeaways.
All right, I've got one guy. I'll mention just a couple of other pitchers just in passing also, if you don't mind. Josh Lindblom. I think this is a fascinating story. And you mentioned the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization. Josh Lindblom was the equivalent of the Cy Young Award winner for the last, not one, but 2 years in the KBO. In 2018, he compiled a 2.88 ERA with a 15-4 record. And I think this year he was 20-3 with a 2.5. He actually got the MVP award. So it's like winning both the Cy Young and MVP. I'm not saying that he's going to pitch like that in America here, but I would definitely take a flyer on him. He reminds me of, if you remember, Colby Lewis from a bunch of years ago when he went with Texas, and he went to KBO to retool his stuff. Well, Lindblom, he's actually been back and forth between the U.S. and KBO, but he's really figured it out. And anytime you have a Cy Young Award winner coming over after retooling, I think the numbers in the projections are wrong. I think that they're all low because projections use old MLB data. They don't really use foreign data if there's a mix. So Lindblom has this stuff. He's in a bad ballpark, though, in Milwaukee, but I think that he's going to play. He could be a number three, four starter. It's his upside.
Remember when Miles Michaelis came over for the St. Louis Cardinals?
Yeah.
And he was just kind of an afterthought. You know, he wasn't being drafted in a lot of leagues. He ended up being picked up in virtually every league because he was good right from the get-go. He's not going to strike out a ton of guys, but he's going to help you in those ratios. He's going to pick up wins because he'll pitch deeper into games. Same type of pitcher here.
Yeah, it's the deep part of the game. Remember, this year, wins are important, and it's pitchers who go deep always have a better chance to win. And because it's so volatile, I'm looking for starters who will go deep in games. I want to mention just two quick starters in passing.
Great.
Austin Voth of the Washington Nationals. He is going to get the role. He has a decent K per nine, excellent swinging strike rate. And what's interesting about Voth is that he has a lot of different secondary pitches. That means that he can toy with his pitch mix, right? Sometimes pitchers, it's not just about the stuff. It's about how to mix and match. And if you figure that out, look at Patrick Corbin. He's figured out just throw the slider a lot. You can really improve your game there. The other pitcher I'll mention is Alex Wood. Alex Wood on the back to the Dodgers, back to a good ballpark after being in Cincinnati. His career ERA is 3.4. I mean, how many pitchers on the waiver wires have a career ERA of 3.4? And he's still young. He threw 89 pitches in an intra-squad start with 8 strikeouts and just 1 walk the other day. I think he can actually go deep into games, and the Dodgers are going to score runs for him. So Alex Wood could be a good source of value for you.
And Dustin May is not going to be in the rotation to open the year.
Yeah, it's Wood there. I like Wood over Dustin May. He's actually a $7 pitcher, according to ATC, in a 15-team league. So.
Ooh, I like that. Yep, Ross Stripling did make the rotation, by the way. That's another quality pickup for the Dodgers, and who knows how long that's going to last because it's the Dodgers, but use him while you can because inning for inning, Ross Stripling is very good. Now, I've got one more pitcher. This is someone I'm so thrilled about this. I wanted to talk about this from the very start of the show just because I love Eliezer Hernandez. I've been talking about him since January. Like, oh man, if this guy gets a rotation spot, I'm all in. And he finally was told he's the 5th starting pitcher for the Marlins. He's going to be their number one. This guy's amazing. He was the 3rd best minor league pitcher in baseball last year behind Mackenzie Gore and Brendan McKay. Casey Mize was number 4. Eliezer Hernandez was number 3. That's the territory he's in. Now, he wasn't that level of prospect, but when a guy gets the job done in AAA to the degree that Eliezer Hernandez does, they tend to be very, it translates well into the major leagues. Now, he's not this guy who's going to absolutely mow you down, but he does pick up the strikeouts. You remember when Dinelson Lamet came up? Like, who's this guy? He's not a top 100 prospect. And he started striking out everybody. Eliezer Hernandez is the same type of pitcher. He just has it.
Yeah, the strikeouts are why you would buy Hernandez, and it is a pitcher's ballpark. He has got almost a 10 K per 9, 12% swing strike rate, and his walks are under control. They're under 3. So you're going to get decent things. There is a couple of red flags, though, I see with Hernandez. First of all, he only throws 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite cut it for a strikeout pitcher in today's game, so that makes me wary. Gives up way too many homers. He threw over 2 homers per 9 innings last year, which is scary. Wins are going to be have just the team context. He's on the Marlins. Wins are going to be hard to come by. There's now a DH, so the ERA is going to go up even more. He's playing the AL East and NL East, which is goodness gracious hard. He gives up way too much hard and medium contact. He gave up 42% medium contact, 40% hard hit contact last year. That's the kind of numbers that, like, Chris Davis with a K hits. So imagine throwing and your average player is Chris Davis that's hitting against you. It makes me a little bit wary. But he is cheap. He is a buck. He has a role, and he will get you strikeouts. I'm not a fan of his, but nothing wrong with throwing the dart.
So I'm going to fight back a little bit, okay? So I'm looking at Baseball Savant, and it measures expected stats, measures their quality of contact against and what their WOBA is expected to be based on that. And then it compares it to what their WOBA actually was. And so his WOBA was 340. That is horrendous. It is so incredibly bad. His expected WOBA, 292. He was the single most unlucky pitcher in baseball last year in terms of quality of contact against. And in fact, his 292, the same exact as Clayton Kershaw, James Paxton, ahead of Yu Darvish, Zach Wheeler, Kyle Hendricks, Shane Bieber. He was awesome last year.
How much credence do you give to that StatCast comparison,
I love
by
it.
The way?
I love it.
Okay. Yeah, no, I look at StatCast, too. More for hitters than for pitchers, though. I think it's a little bit more indicative for them because it's maybe a little bit more in your control in terms of pitchers. You know, if you're constantly giving up hard contact, even though StatCast says it doesn't, I kind of believe the real stuff a little bit more. You know, the hits like the BABIP, that I'll believe more in terms of luck indicators. But yeah, no, I definitely. You've made the case that he is an upside play. He is cheap, so for return on investment purposes, I'll agree with you. I'll throw my darts elsewhere, but
sure.
I'm fine with you. I'm fine with you doing that.
A few other guys who were, according to this metric, extremely unlucky last year. Noah Syndergaard, he's obviously hurt. Dylan Bundy, Freddie Peralta. Here's a really interesting one, because the single most lucky pitcher in 2018 was Blake Snell. The third most unlucky pitcher in 2019 was Blake Snell. He went in the complete reverse. It's like when Rick Porcello had 4 straight unlucky years, and then he all of a sudden had the most lucky year and won the Cy Young. Stuff like that happens in small sample sizes, right?
Yeah, it all evens out. And actually, Blake Snell comes up as the number one pitcher on my WPDI list for the plate discipline. He gets so many swings and misses outside the zone, Blake Snell. The deception is enormous.
He's phenomenal, isn't he?
I believe that. He is phenomenal. I hope he's healthy.
His ERA last year, 4.29. Expected ERA, 3.04. I mean, it's light years apart. He's going at a pretty decent value. Him and Charlie Morton both. I don't understand. The Rays are awesome. Who do you have winning the World Series this year, by the way? Because the season's about to start. Now's the time to make our predictions.
Yeah, I have it as the Dodgers over the Rays.
That's exactly what I have, right?
Is that really?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Wow.
I think most people would probably be picking the Yankees or the Astros. The Twins are obviously really exciting. I think the A's are really exciting. Do you have a sleeper team?
The sleeper team is the White Sox. I think the White Sox are going to win the AL Central.
Whoa, all right.
Yeah, I mean, what do they have? They have Detroit and Kansas City, so that's easy. Cleveland is not as good as advertised. I mean, look, Kluber gone, Bauer gone. They got Clevinger back, but they're not as good as advertised.
They got Clevinger and Bieber. That's pretty dang good in a playoff series. But yeah, they got to make the playoffs first.
That's true. We're talking about winning the division. The other team is Minnesota. Minnesota's got that lineup, but their pitching is really suspect.
Oh, I mean, I love their pitching this year. You don't?
No, I mean, I like them because they'll have an offense to give them wins for fantasy. But, I mean, Jake Odorizzi, he's a two-through-the-lineup kind of guy. I'm not too – it's not so super thrilling that they can't be beaten. And, you know, the White Sox, they've bolstered their rotation by signing Gio Gonzalez and Dallas Keuchel. They've got those guys like Ronaldo Lopez and Giolito and stuff.
And Dylan Cease, who could break out, yeah.
Dylan Cease, the breakout guy. So they have pitching. Look at their lineup. Their lineup from
head
to toe.
It's amazing.
Eloy Jimenez, they've got Moncada in there. They got the batting star Tim Anderson. By the way, they got the catcher Grandal, who's a plus
catcher.
Best catcher
in baseball, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, Edwin Encarnacion. How about Jose Abreu, who's
right.
just a rock?
Luis Robert, who's been better than anybody.
I didn't even get to Luis Robert. Yeah, I mean, there's so much talent there.
Their one weak spot is Lourie Garcia, and they're about to replace him with Nick Madrigal. Like, this offense is great. Now, the pitching staff has some question marks, but see, the thing is, as good as this offense is, I don't think it's as good as the Twins. And as much upside as this White Sox rotation has, I don't think it's as good as the Twins. So I've still got the Twins, but I understand why you're picking the White Sox. I love that sleeper call. Mine's the Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean, they've got some serious talent. And then their lineup is very good as well. They added to it with Starling Marte. I'm a fan of this team.
Well, anytime you have two Martes on the same team,
right.
I mean, one Marte didn't do it, but two Marte. Do you remember when J.D. Martinez came on the team and they had to actually write in his jersey J.D. Martinez because there was two Martinezes? So I'm actually more curious to see whether they're going to write S. Marte and K. Marte on the jersey, and they're going to make a bundle because now they have to sell two new jerseys.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Man, you can tell Marte was so good last year. So dang good.
Yeah, he was good. I think he's overvalued, though, Marte.
I agree.
His power is not real. I think he has so many just enough homers, but they have David Peralta, who's undervalued, who's going to return to form. Cole Calhoun is fantastic.
Full season of Carson Kelly?
Carson Kelly is the next big catcher guy. They definitely have a lot of talent. I think it's going to be hard to unseed the Dodgers, though.
I'm just saying, they can sneak into the playoffs, and once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen in a short series.
Yeah, I think it's still the Dodgers. There's just so much firepower that it's hard not to predict them, you know?
Right. Okay, let's move on to our summer camp takeaways. We've each got three of them. Why don't you start us off?
Yeah, my takeaways are the Rays, actually, and glad we mentioned a little bit of a segue into it. But my takeaway here is that the Rays are going to Ray. What I mean by that is anything can happen. They can throw a pitcher two innings and five innings and two innings, and they can do whatever they want there. And it's not just in the rotation. They can do this in the lineup. I mean, look at their outfielders. They've got Meadows, Kiermaier, Renfro, but they traded for Manny Margot. They traded for Jose Martinez. They've got Sasugo. They've got Jimon Choi. They're going to mix and match like no tomorrow. And this is a short season. If you think they were just mixing and matching last year, they're going to take it to the next level. So it's going to be hard to predict fantasy value on this team. People are not going to get the playing time that you think they will, but then some others who you think they wouldn't have the playing time will. So it's going to be a very tough team for fantasy because the Rays are going to Ray.
I love it. And this is why they're going to win. Look, the Yankees have more talent, but Kevin Cash, I've said this and I'll say it again, Kevin Cash is not just the best manager in baseball. He's the best manager in any sport. Better than Popovich, better than Bill Belichick. Can you imagine Bill Belichick having a third, a fourth of the salary of other teams and still just whooping them? That's what Kevin Cash is doing because he is changing the game, absolutely. And everyone else is copycatting him because he's the only one bold enough to make some of these big decisions. Like, okay, I'm just going to start a relief pitcher so I can, you know, improve my odds with the matchups. He's the only one who does that stuff, and now everyone's copying him because guess what? It works. Somebody posted, man, can you imagine the Rays rotation in the playoffs? You got Blake Snell, Charlie Morton, Tyler Glasnow. I was like, no, that you're wrong, man. The Rays rotation in the playoffs is Nick Anderson in game one, Diego Castillo in game two, Nick Anderson in game three, Diego Castillo in game four. And they can do whatever they want, and that's why they're going to win.
Yeah, and other than Charlie Morton, I guess Snell if he's healthy, and Glasnow, I don't expect to actually see, here's our projected starting pitcher. Like, they're going to change it an hour before, because they can now.
Right. It's so frustrating for DFS, but you know what?
It's going to be very frustrating, yeah. And by the way, this bullpen is electric. They feel so comfortable with that bullpen that they traded Emilio Pagan, probably one of their better guys, away. They got Anderson, Castillo, Chaz Rowe, Alvarado, any one of these guys can actually be the closer. Andrew
Cullen Kittredge, too.
Comes up.
He might be better than any of them.
Poche, too. Kittredge was fantastic on my WPDI list. This team is built tough, built strong, and I think they're going to win the pennant.
Now, you mentioned G-Man Choi and Jose Martinez, and I want to give you guys a little tip here. If you guys have more than three bench spots, you got 5, 6, 7 bench spots, roster both G-Man Choi and Jose Martinez, because Jose Martinez against left-handed pitchers is phenomenal. G-Man Choi against right-handed pitchers is phenomenal. When you put these two together, Martinez is going to start against lefties, Choi is going to start against righties. If you've got a daily lineup league where you can adjust, just pay attention to see if they're playing against a righty or a lefty, and you mix match those guys, and combine, they're better than Freddie Freeman over the last 3 years.
That's a great tip, and so true.
All right, my number one, and this goes for a lot of different prospects. There are going to be prospects that we didn't expect to be called up at all this season who are going to make substantial impact. And when you see these guys getting playing time, you pick them up from the get-go. Jared Kelenic for the Seattle Mariners, he might start from day one. And if he does, I don't care if he's 20 years old and you think that he's raw. Sure, he's going to get a lot better. He's ready to hit right now. His bat is super loud. His hand-eye coordination is exceptional. One day he's going to win a batting title and hit 30 homers. This guy is exceptional, and from day one, I would want him on my team. You remember Juan Soto when he came up with the Washington Nationals. Everyone was like, this kid's not going to get it done in fantasy. What did he do? He was awesome. These players happen every year. I think it could be Jared Kelenic.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with the player Jared Kelenic. Who is he?
Well, let me tell you, he is this absolutely incredible prospect that used to play for the New York Mets.
No, and they traded him
for Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz.
No, don't remind. Why did you remind me of this? This is just, I'm so sorry. I have nightmares from this. Probably one of the worst trades you'll ever see here, where the Mets are now stuck with Robinson Cano and $20 million a year, and Edwin Diaz with a 5-year RA. But in all seriousness, Kelenic is a future star. I mean, he's a future all-star. 5-tool. He's got contact, amazing. Speed, amazing. He has moderate power that's going to just develop more. I've seen pictures of him in this summer camp, and he's just cranking out the homers. Kelenic, I don't think he's going to be up this year. He's for sure not going to be up the first week until Super 2, for sure. But the Mariners are going nowhere this year, so why lose a year of Jared Kelenic for an awful Mariners team? I'm hesitant to take him in fantasy because of that. Obviously, if he is up, he's right away to me a must pick up. But the player is enormous.
Same with Wander Franco. Yeah. Same with Dylan Carlson. Just keep an eye on some of these top prospects. Look at the list. We'll keep you updated on this list. I think so too.
Carlson will be up. Yeah.
I have a serious question to ask you, and this is a really important one that I saved just for you. Who has a better swing, Jared Kelenic or Ken Griffey Jr.?
I mean, it's hard for me to say that Ken Griffey Jr. doesn't have one of the sweetest swings of all time. I mean, even in the video game, his swing looks awesome with that hat backwards. No, I mean, to me, it's Griffey. You'd have to unseat Griffey in order to do that. So
it's sweet. But Kelenic is in the conversation. He is, and the ball just sounds different off his bat. He's fun. He's a lot of fun.
It's enormous. Oh, nightmares, man.
I'm so sorry. All right. Why don't you give me number two summer camp takeaway?
All right. Go back to what we had before in terms of the closer situations. In fantasy, my takeaway is that closers are going to be so tricky this year. Number one, there are going to be teams that I don't think you should even be rostering, and one of them is the Mariners, because the Mariners stink. I just had Fred Zinke on my show last week, and he thinks that no Mariner will even get to 3 wins this year. You have the Marlins who stink, the Tigers who stink. I mean, how many saves for a team that's going to have 20 to 25 wins? How many saves is the guy going to have? 10? Not even. It's going to be really, really tricky doing that. Plus, you have all of the closer carousels that's going to happen. I mean, even like the Mets with Edwin Diaz, the manager is not committing to saying he's my closer. Like, we'll give him the first crack, he said. But I don't know. If he stinks.
Seth Lugo or Dylan Betances are awesome.
Or I saw Jairus Familia pitching the other day, and he looked vintage. I think that there's not going to be closers with locks. Jose Leclerc, they gave him a three-year deal a couple years ago. They already said he's going to get a short hook. How about Pittsburgh? They stink, and who it's going to be? St. Louis, we just talked earlier. We don't even know who it's going to be. So if you're going to spend money and roster spots, just shy away from closers. If you're in a standalone league, I would consider even punting. It's going to be so hard. If you've got a better starters and get those strikeouts, bank the counting stats, I would shy away from closers in general. That's my takeaway from what I see in
camps. Go get the Seth Lugos. Go get the Ryan Presley's, who, oh, by the way, is now the closer for the Houston Astros, because you never know when somebody's going to become a closer, and you might as well just get those ratios and get those Ks. And so what if you get saves? If you do, awesome. If not, it's just not worth the investment if you're still doing your drafts.
Oh, Ryan Presley. I mean, he's phenomenal.
He's going to be the best closer for the first week or two.
He's the number one relief pitcher WPDI of this year and last year on my
list. What is WPDI? Can you explain that to the listeners?
Yeah, it stands for Weighted Plate Discipline Index. And what I've done is it's not based on outcome. It's not whether you got a hit or a walk or whatnot. It's pitch by pitch. So I look at three things: whether a ball is thrown in the zone, whether the ball is swung on, and whether it's made contact with. And if you look at those three, and they generate different outcomes, right? You could be in the zone, swung on, and missed. Or you can be out of the zone, swung on, and contact. The quality of contact and the quality of deception of a pitcher is obviously better in certain scenarios, right? For a pitcher who's getting contact in the zone, that is pretty bad. But a pitcher who's getting swings and misses away, that's better. So I give more weight to those better outcomes. It's a good metric because it takes a much shorter time to stabilize, right? The denominator is not at-bats, it's pitches. If you're pitching seven pitches an at-bat to a guy, you're going to get hundreds and hundreds of pieces of data very quickly in a season. So it just shows the deception of pitchers. And again, it's not a be-all, end-all statistic, but it can unearth some really great talent out there. And Presley is number one in that short list.
All right, let's move on over to my number two. And this one is just, you know, it happens every single year, usually in the spring, though, where we find out who's a starter and who's not a starter. And there's some stuff that we've been waiting on, like, is Hilliard going to be a starter? We still don't know that with the Rockies. We do know that Tyler O'Neill is going to be a starter for the St. Louis Cardinals. They've been showing us that in summer camp. And this is a guy who has a lot of upside. He's one of the fastest players in the game. He's got bonkers power. Is he going to change the strikeouts? Hopefully. If he doesn't, he's going to lose his job. But while he is in the starting lineup, I'm going to take my chances because this could be a 12 home run, 7-8 stolen base guy in the short season. And there's not going to be many players like that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up. And this is one of the scenarios that I'm going to take your intuition as a Cardinals fan who is more in touch with the Cardinals than I am or the regular fan, because I didn't really envision him as a starter. To me, Harrison Bader is the guy, Carlson's the guy, and I think they're going to play Fowler. That's what I would thought the outfield was going to be. O'Neill, to me, may have been the DH. That was more of the likely scenario, I think.
He's very good defensively. He's a lot better defensively than Fowler. So if they're going to DH one of them, it would be Fowler.
Oh, okay.
But here's what it comes down to is they've been playing these red and blue games where they play all of the starting outfielders together so that they can gel together on one team, on the red team. And then the entire blue team is all of the infield together, the starting infield together, so they can gel together. So it's like an even match. And they've been playing, you know, all these teams have been playing scrimmages against one another. And that's what the Cardinals have been doing. It's been O'Neill every day with Bader in center, Fowler in right, and unfortunately Carlson on the bench. I don't know why.
Right. Well, Carlson, though, he's going to stay down for a couple days to pass Super 2. So I think it's 9 days or some crazy low number like that. So you think that when he comes up, it's just going to he's going to unseed Fowler? Or what do you think?
I think that Carlson's going to get his chance to play 3 out of every 5 days until he demands that they start him. And when they do, whether or not it's Matt Carpenter who goes to the bench and Tommy Edmund plays third and Fowler goes to DH, or Fowler's struggling and he goes to the bench, whatever it's going to be, I think Carlson will end up earning his job. But O'Neill, I think, is going to be the starter for the vast majority of the season.
Okay. Well, O'Neill's his production, according to ATC, his production per at-bat is fantastic. I have him for 138 at-bats, 8 homers, average 240. Okay. His run production, fantastic. 20 homers, 20 RBIs. He's probably going to get a good placement in the order, I would think, if he's in the lineup. As you mentioned, the only red flag is he strikes out too much, and we're talking
way
almost 40%.
Way too much, yeah.
40% of the time. That's the only chink in the armor there, but I do like O'Neal. I just didn't know, and I guess you clarified in terms of being a Cardinal fan what's going
to
go on.
I love Dylan Carlson. I want him to start more than anybody, but I don't think it's him right now. It's Tyler O'Neal, so I'll get some shares of Tyler O'Neal. Why don't you give us your last takeaway, and then I've got one more, too.
Okay. My last takeaway is that you're still going to get the veterans claim their roles. So you mentioned Fowler there, and this is pretty much what I'm talking about, that you got these veteran guys, they're going to stick them out. My draw here is in Houston, Dusty Baker actually was on the record saying that when you have him versus Tucker, Kyle Tucker.
Josh Reddick faced Tucker. I don't even want to hear this. I'm plugging my ears.
Yep. Well, he said it's going to be Reddick, and he said, listen, if Reddick bats 100 in the first couple of games, we're still going to stick with him. Starters need time.
Dusty Baker? Come on, man. You've got Kyle Tucker sitting down there. He could be a top 20 outfielder right now. You know who Josh Reddick is. You know who he is. He's nowhere near as good as Kyle Tucker can be. Dude, just can you trade Kyle Tucker to the Cardinals? Get rid of him if you're not going to play him. For the people listening to the show since February, they know. Kyle Tucker was my guy before Avisail Garcia. And then when I realized Dusty Baker's just not going to play him, I'm done.
Yeah. The thing is that, and this is the general rule for fantasy players, is that you can have a better fantasy player be unseated by a worse fantasy player. Not even if he could be better in real life, also in real life baseball. But if the manager wants to play the veterans, the real life baseball situation supersedes the fantasy play. Not in the long term, but in the short term. And for some teams, they're going to play short term like it's April, even though it's 60 games season. So just watch out for that. My takeaway there is caution. Just watch out for cases where the veteran guy is going to stick. And Dusty Baker is not playing rookies that you know.
He never does. That's who Dusty Baker is. I'm going to tweet this out as soon as this show is over. Take solace in the fact that the Astros punished themselves by hiring Dusty Baker to do this crap.
Well, who would you hire? I think he was the perfect fit for the situation, right?
Joe McEwen. That's who I would have hired.
Okay.
I think he's the next good manager in waiting. He keeps going to all these interviews and not getting the job. He was supposed to be this great manager. I'm just waiting for the day he gets his chance.
I would say knock on wood, McEwen will get his chance. But since it's the Astros, I'll say bang on a garbage can. He'll be a manager.
All right. I've got one more here. And this is, you know, it's kind of what we've been talking about. Pay attention to the lineups. You know, where's a guy going to be batting? Who are these random guys who are going to get opportunities because of COVID or the shortened season or what have you? Shed Long is going to be batting leadoff for the Seattle Mariners. And I wrote in my notes, he's a cheap source of stakes. What I meant to type is he's a cheap source of steals. Autocorrect knows me all too well, always thinking about steak. But Shed Long is this very exciting player. He used to be with the Cincinnati Reds organization. Never a big-time prospect, but always a guy who gets 15 homers, 25 stolen bases in the minor. Well, if you extend it out to a full season, because, you know, he was doing 15-20 in 120 games or whatever. But he's also going to bat 280, 290. Is what he's always done. I don't know if he's going to do that in the majors, but he's a decent source of batting average. He's going to get a lot of runs because he bats at the top of the order, and he's going to help you with steals as well, a few home runs. It's a quality type of player that you could use as a fifth outfielder.
Yeah, he does strike out a little too much for leadoff. He bat 25% strikeout rate, but he does also walk. Kevin Biggio reminds me of that kind of profile, where, you know, you take walks but strikes out a lot. But yeah, the steals profile is there. Seattle's going to struggle to score runs, as we know, struggle to win games, and if you're doing so, you're going to want to play more small ball. And that would mean that your leadoff hitter gets on, you're going to see his opportunity percentage go. I mean, to me, stolen bases are the product of getting on base and then opportunity and then success. Well, his success rate is there. His opportunity will be there. So if he can get on by walking, get on and improve that strikeout rate, you could see Shed Long go. And the Mariners, you know, they have Malik Smith who's going to steal. They have D. Gordon. They have a bunch of steals guys. They like stealing. So I can see this happening. I like this pick by you, Bobby.
Thank you. All right, Ariel, that's all for today's show. Really appreciate you taking the time to come on again.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much, Bobby, and hope you have a great fantasy baseball season.
Thank you. You as well. I definitely will have a great fantasy baseball season because I have Avisel Garcia on all my teams, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Give Ariel a follow on Twitter if you haven't already. He's at ATCNY. You're going to love his stuff. He is the projection guru. Always finishes in the top in accuracy. Again, that's at ATCNY. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro. All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsor of today's show, Superdraft. No limits, more winning. Sign up for Superdraft today using the promo code FANTASYPROS and claim your free $10 bonus with your first deposit. Download in the App Store or play at superdraft.io. And also, don't forget to take advantage of our lineup assistant, the waiver assistant, and the trade analyzer, which are all available with a premium subscription at fantasypros.com/premium. And if you want to get our highest subscription tier for free for 6 months, check out the offer at fantasypros.com/offers. For Ariel Cohen, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your baseball.